Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. It's 10:04 on a Saturday afternoon right before Super Bowl Sunday. Hope your day's going good. We certainly have nice weather here in Arizona. We're going to talk about cars for the next hour, and if you'd like to join us, now's the time because the lines are wide open. If you're local, 602-508-0960. If you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area and you're listening to us on the internet or whatever, 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley and Mesa. Thompson's has been in business since 1970. They're AAA approved. They're ASE certified Blue Seal shop and a NAPA certified auto care center. They've been named the Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing is equipped to handle all major and minor repairs on your foreign and domestic cars. And I'm very proud to have Thompson's Auto Repair, and that's Brian and Thelma, on our best car list. And you can find that best car list at marksalem.com. Got a co-pilot this week. His name is Dave Silva, and I think, did you sleep in the parking lot last night?
I did. It was a long Friday afternoon.
I bet so. We've got a bunch of construction guys out there, and I said, have you seen Dave? And they said, we think there was a guy sleeping in the front lawn, but we're not sure. So how have you been?
I'm good. It's definitely nice weather here in town. I just wanted to say real
Mark,
quick.
Can you turn yourself up?
My mom is listening all the way from Oregon online, and I promised her I'd say hello. So hello, Mom. Hope you're having a good morning.
All righty. Hey, listen, Dave Silva is here because he's a service writer, a professional service writer. He's worked at a variety of businesses that involve car repair. And what I thought we'd do is when you call in for questions, when you call in and you say, I have a question, you'll give us the question, and then I'm going to reframe your question to Dave, and we're going to kind of see how that works. Because so much, not so much, what percentage, Dave, what percentage does communication play in getting the car fixed right?
Easily about 90%.
Easy, because if they say do an alignment, and then you do an alignment, and then they say, oh, no, the vibration's still there, then you say, well, gosh, I should have been working on the tires, maybe?
Right.
Does that happen a lot?
It can. It does from time to time.
Okay. Can you think of a specific example where at one time or another things got, kind of out of control when...
Not since I've been here, but a lot of times people will come in thinking that they already know what their problem is, and they'll just come in and say, hey, can you align this vehicle? Can you balance these tires? Whatever the case may be.
Okay, let's do that one.
Okay.
All right, you're the service writer. You greet me.
Welcome to our shop. How are you doing today?
Good. I've got an appointment, and what I want you to do is I want you to align my car.
Okay. Are you getting any pull to the left or right when you drive? You got any uneven tire wear that you've noticed?
No. I just want you to align it.
Okay. Well, we can do, before we go ahead and do an alignment, we might want to just do an alignment check. It's a little bit cheaper. You might not need to do a whole alignment, but...
What does that do? How do you do that?
Well, we'll just pull it up on the alignment rack. We'll put the heads on it, and we'll check the alignment and make sure that it's all within spec. If it's not, we can go ahead and align it from there as long as there's no worn suspension components and the alignment's possible. But if you're not getting any pulls and we don't see any uneven tire wear, it might not even be necessary to align the vehicle at this time. So that's what we would check just to make sure if the alignment is necessary or not.
Well, what's really happening is when I'm going around, on those gas station driveways that are real slick concrete?
Yes.
When I make a tight turn, the tires are squealing.
Okay. And what kind of vehicle is this?
It's a little Honda, front-wheel drive.
Okay. There may be something going on there.
Okay. Now, where would you find that in your process of aligning my car? Would you find it before or after?
Well, if that may be a situation where once we get it up on the rack, it might be out. It might be towed out a little bit on the front end.
Okay.
So in that case, you might be needing some sort of adjustment there, yes.
Okay. So, and what I keep hearing you say is that you're kind of a symptom-driven guy. You want to know what the symptoms are.
Yes.
All right. What you I hope I made you think, and I hope I made our listeners think, that I was kind of looking at it from a maintenance point of view. It's just due.
Right, right.
And what's the difference between checking the alignment and doing an alignment on a Honda front wheel drive?
Well,
dollars wise, approximately.
About $40 or so, $35 bucks.
Okay. All right. And that's kind of what it all boils down to. It's my favorite story is simple. Lady comes in and says, tune it up and align the front end. And we probably should have asked some more questions, but we didn't.
Right.
And the car wasn't fixed when the husband picked it up. And so it was a vibration caused by a bad back tire, and he thought that alignment would fix that. And then he thought a tune-up would fix the up and down motion of the RPMs, and really he was low on refrigerant. So his diagnosis was wrong. Then he had his wife take it in with his diagnosis. Then he's mad because we didn't fix his repair based on his diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think we kept him as a customer because we added some Freon, and that took care of that. And then we showed him the bad tire, and he had warranty on it, and he took it in. He ended up getting an alignment and a tune-up that he paid for, but we didn't really kick him when he was down. So those are the kinds of things we run into. When you've been a service rider at other facilities, you don't need to tell us whether it's an independent, a gas station, a chain, or a dealership. Don't do that.
Okay.
But what kind of responsibilities did you have with respect to the customer?
Well, you know, a lot of places are very dependent on the average ticket sale, or the repair average for the day.
Okay.
And
what would that number typically be? Give me a low and a high.
You know, I've seen it anywhere from, you know, the goal might be anywhere from 80, 90 per ticket all the way up to like 125, 130 per ticket, something like that. And
after Al, we have
you
Bob.
Know, places like that, it, not necessarily that they're bad places to do, but, you know, they will try to get as much out of you at one time as they can. Obviously,
okay.
You know, not necessarily trying to sell you things you don't need, but maybe trying to do things before they're due, or, you know, something that isn't necessarily something that needs to be done right now, but you'll try to, you know, emphasize it, try to make it sound like it's really important. Things like that are done just to keep the averages up, or to keep the managers of those places out of trouble with the corporate guys.
Okay. So, is there any parameters? For instance, if they say to you that, you know, we're not doing it, does it sound like this? I'm guessing now.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do well last month, so we're going to move up our minimum ticket price, or our average ticket price, to $1.25 or something. Is there also parameters that go along with that? Typically, now listen, we want you to focus on this thing, or alignments, or polishing the headlights, or oil changes, what differential services, transmission service. What do they give you some focus?
From what I've seen, you know, basically bumper to bumper, I mean the whole vehicle, not necessarily that they focus on one area, but
okay.
You know, if everyone, let's say we're at an oil change place, a lot of people go to, you know, the drive-through oil change places, and you know, they don't really make a lot of money off just an oil change. You know, their entire business is based on trying to add more things to that.
Okay.
So, you know, that's why a lot of people have this you know, a negative connotation of, well, every time I go in there to try to sell me this and that and this and that. Depending on the place, you know, it might be something you need, it might not. But, you know, they're always going to try to add something, because just coming through with an oil change, you know, a $40 ticket is not a $125 average for the whole day.
It's a long way away.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So,
But in their defense, and I'm not going to pretend I'm defending them or anything, but I found, even as a shop owner myself, there are times that I go out and tell the guys, look, I want you to start doing some light bulb checks.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw you, Todd, driving down the street, and you hit the brake, and the right rear brake light was out. And then you turned right, and you had your signal on, but it didn't signal.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't mileage indicative. They're not
right.
Indicative of maintenance. They're not anything, but that customer doesn't know that the taillight's out. That and I'm going to use a word that some people have a positive connotation and some have a negative, but that upsell,
yes,
is clearly defendable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed the other day, but there was an article in the paper for the Attorney General's office had busted a transmission shop.
I did see that, yes.
Okay, it's a transmission shop that's actually very close to my shop. It's in South Tempe as well. And he had been in trouble 2 years before that, and he had made promises, and now they're going after him and holding him in contempt of court or something, because mm-hmm. he's not up. They say he's not upheld his end of the bargain. And they cited a variety of things of what he did. For instance, they're claiming that the shop could elect whether to perform repairs or refund when the judgment required full refunds for defective transmissions.
Right.
So he's supposed to refund the entire amount of money for a defective transmission, and he's telling customers they could either repair it or refund it. And here's one that kind of made me smile. Claiming the right to repossess customer's vehicle if the payment did not go through or was reversed.
That's pretty ridiculous.
All righty. And then, you see, claiming the transmissions were not returnable after 30 days when the judgment required full refunds for defective transmissions up to 60 days.
Right.
I got to tell you, this is karma. I think this is karma. There has been a lot of discussion about this kind of activity, and it's just a matter of time that they catch up with you. And I guess he had some consumer violations in 2005 and 2011, and that was important. That's where he made the agreement, and now they're saying that he didn't do a good job. Let's go to the phone and talk to Al real quick. Al, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I got a question. It may have to do with the alignment or it may not. The other day I was driving down the road. I was behind like a 62 Studebaker, and it was going straight, but the back end had to be at least 2 inches over from the front end.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But my question is, I know most cars now are independent suspension, and is that an alignment thing that you could do to straighten it up, or is that just the rear end split over?
Okay. Well,
Mark, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think on those older vehicles, when they don't have the independent suspension, is something they call dog tracking, where sometimes the frame will get a little bent. And even though the vehicle seems to be driving down the road, sometimes the rear end will be a couple inches out from the front end, so it kind of, not necessarily that it's going sideways, but almost tracking, off to the rear there. So that might have been what the case was. I don't know if that's on those old cars, if that's something we could do or not.
No, it is. It is. We can do that, and here's the deal. That's called a center line alignment. We're going to draw a line straight down the center of the car from the front bumper to the rear bumper, and we're going to make sure that the back follows the front.
Right.
In this case, the back's off to the side. So what we're going to do is move one of the axles forward or backward in the leaf spring area or in the spring area, and we're going to make it center line straight. So we would start with an alignment, make sure the front is there, and then we would move the back over by slotting metal stuff and making some transitions. When we come back, we're going to talk to Bob and anybody else at 602-508-0960. You're welcome to give us a call, 602-508-0960. If you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, 888-960-9696.
Hop. The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk one size too small."
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. I'm your host, and my co-pilot for this hour is Dave Silva, a professional service writer. And I've been around a while talking about car and car repair. We're going to go to the phones because that's what we're here for. Bob and Joe, you're our next two callers. We've got open lines available, 602-508-0960. 508-0960. Bob, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Morning, guys. I have an 02 Chevy Blazer with 142,000 miles. And the last time I had a brake job, about a month ago, they told me the idler arm was worn and needed to be replaced. And I'm not getting irregular tire wear or any abnormal steering, and I grease all the fittings every 6,000 miles.
Okay.
So,
here's the deal. It was an 02 Blazer. Is it a full size or a small?
Just a small one.
Okay. The idler arm is just a pivot point for the entire steering going left and right. It's a pivot point. What happens a lot of times, in my opinion, is that we wiggle the arm up and down, and there's some movement, so therefore we condemn the idler arm. Unfortunately, if you were to do the same test after you're done putting on the new idler arm, Dave, what are you shaking your head for? What's going to happen?
Well, there might not be too much difference.
Yeah, there's not a bunch of difference between the before and after. If you don't have any tire wear, if you're not complaining that there's a lot of play in the steering wheel, if you're not having trouble keeping that in one lane at 70 miles an hour, then I probably wouldn't do it. All righty. Good luck to you. Thank you very much. And, I noticed he gave us good symptoms.
Yes.
He wasn't having any trouble, and the no abnormal tire wear, which is two things we look at immediately.
Exactly.
All righty. Joe, you're up next. Joe, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I've got a four tires on there. They're Goodyear Viva tires,
uh-huh.
and they've only got a little over 10,000 miles on them, but they're 6 years old. And I was wondering, you think they would be safe to take a trip? Now, they look great, and they've been in the garage all the time, and I don't drive in heavy traffic or out in the heat or anything. And the man at Discount Tire said they look good. But I was wondering, with the age of those tires, 6 years old, would you think that I should get them replaced? I got to take a trip.
So the guy at the tire shop said they look good. He's not seeing any like dry rotting
no
or anything in the
saddle. Okay. Possibly they last more than 6 years.
Well, what you've done, Joe, is you've identified a huge discussion and argument that's going on in our industry right now. The and I'm just teasing here, folks. I'm just using Dave, Democrats and Republicans. Okay, so
right.
we're going to say that there's two parties, and we're going to say one of them's the Cowboys and one of them's the Indians. That's
that'll
easier.
Work.
Okay, so the idea is that one group says that we must kick tires out of service at 5 years, and one group says why? Because the people in Minnesota don't experience the same kind of heat and sun that we get down on the interstate 10 corridor from Florida to Arizona to California. Some people say, well, the tire can rot inside the warehouse, and other people say, no, it doesn't. And some people say, we should look at the physical condition of the tire, and the other one says, no, we should just look on the born-on date.
Uh-huh.
So you are in the middle of that. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, before Alan left, my son's taking his boys to the sand dunes. And he comes outside and he goes, hey, Pop, look at these back tires on the motorhome. And I looked at them, and there was some weather cracking on them. And he says, should I be concerned about that? And I said, no, the fronts are new. You're not going to be going fast. And all you're going to do is go 3 hours to the sand dunes and 3 hours home. I'm not concerned at all. And if you have a problem on the back end, you won't have a problem steering it because you're just going to lose one duel out of the four. So, but I let my grandkids go in that vehicle. I think trying to time out tires on cars today is being driven by two things. Number one, it's going to increase sales of tires. There's no question about that. Number two, I am in the industry where I consult with insurance companies, law enforcement, and other places about mechanical defects. I'm an expert in industry standards. I'm an expert in mechanical applications, and I'm an expert in testifying how a car works. We're seeing lots of tires that are older than 5 years blow out, which causes serious injuries or death, which means that the manufacturer of the tire is now in a lawsuit. I see them benefiting in two different ways, increased in car in tire sales and a decrease in lawsuits that say your six-year-old tire, you know, hurt me. So I'm with Dave on this one, 100%. If a tire expert has looked at your tires and said they're okay, and your car's been in the garage, because I think, how in the world can tires age inside my garage in the shade? There's no sunlight. There's no ultraviolet light. I don't understand that. Now, if you said that you were going to take your wife to New York City, I'd look twice. But if you're going to stay here within a 100-mile range, don't take those off. Those are still good tires.
Yeah, I'm going to take a trip to Pennsylvania. And I don't go over 60 miles an hour.
Okay, and you have a road service on your insurance or some other place,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do, and I also got a lifetime warranty on tires replacement, full replacement on the tire.
Okay, and have you ever experienced a front or a rear blowout before in your life?
Not in a long, long time, probably about 40 years.
Okay, but still you've experienced one or two, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you know how it's going to happen. You're going to hear the noise. The car's going to pull hard to one side or the other. You let your foot off the gas. You just coast to the side of the road. Don't overreact and don't go crazy. But really and truly, if I got to see your tires, I would tell you whether I would let my kids go with you to Pennsylvania or not. And that's the question. Take it to, what part of town do you live in?
I live in Scottsdale.
Okay. What part, north or south?
In the middle, you know, around Camelback.
Okay.
68th Street.
I think your tire experts, on the west side, I would send you to S&S Tire, but on your side, I just go to a Discount Tire and maybe go to two.
And
just say to them, take a look at these tires. Now, there's a born-on date on the tires. You want to make sure that that tire wasn't already a year old, which means it's seven now.
Yes.
Okay, but tell them, when were these tires made, and look them over, can I go to Pennsylvania? The real bad news is if you get two different answers. One shop says yes and one shop says no. You'll have to go to a unanimous decision vote.
Well, I think they're pretty honest at that Discount Tires, because the last time I went there about a year ago, he says, yeah, you look real nice, real good. And I just thought I'd check one more time.
Yeah. Well, I think you're safe. I think you're doing it right, and I hope you have peace of mind on your way to Pennsylvania.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
All right. We got open lines available, 602-508-0960. 508-0960.
We've got caller James waiting.
And James, we're going to James, I can't get you and do you good, buddy. But I'm going to get you on the other side of this break. I promise. So we're going to put James up first. And if you're outside the Phoenix area, 888-960-9696, 888-960-9696. And if you're local, 602-508-0960. And we can answer all kinds of car questions. If you want to stick on alignments, we can. Now, Dave Silva's here with me. He's a professional service writer. He's a no-good kind of guy. It's not the kind of guy that you'd want your daughter to bring home. But then again...
Thank you very much.
Of course I'm teasing you. Of course I'm teasing you. But we're here at your service, and we have your interests in front of our own. We're not here to sell you anything at all. We're here to help you with your car problems. And the way you do that is you can either email me at mark@marksalem.com, or you can go to our website, marksalem.com, that has 800 pages of automotive stuff, and you can find lots of FAQs that address just about everything that I've ever seen in my life in the last 30 years when it relates to specific car repair or maintenance issues. I think there's about 65 FAQs in there, and the most recent one is hybrid vehicles. And there's a lot of questions about those, and our opinions about hybrid vehicles are on the website. It's marksalem.com, marksalem.com. I am Mark Salem, and this is Intelligent Talk 960, The Patriot. Hey, Mark Salem here. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. You're listening to 960 The Patriot. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. They have years of experience working on both domestic and import vehicles and both gas and diesel. Kurtz Auto is located at I-17 and Bell Road. And since they opened in 1992, they've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. Again, if you're in that area, I-17 and Bell, and you don't have a garage, please give Kurtz Auto a try. You'll understand why I can recommend Kurtz Auto Repair. All righty, Dave, let's head on over to James. James, thank you for holding. How can we help you today?
Oh, no worries. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pick your brain about when it's time to rebuild an engine or perhaps replace it with one of those crate engines.
Okay.
I had my transmission replaced a few years ago or fixed. And he said it was leaking the back of my engine between the transmission and the engine. Okay. I'm not sure what that is.
Is it rear main seal?
Yeah, that's called the rear main seal.
The rear main seal. So it's not a big leak, but, you know, you get that little drip. And I bought this truck new in 98, and it has. It just turned over 201,000 miles on it. And it does feel a little weak, but starts all the time.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll tell you exactly when it's due. Are you going to be concerned, Dave, about that little bitty oil leak at the rear main seal at 200,000 miles or close to it?
No. Not unless it's severe enough to where you're having to constantly add oil to the engine.
And I want to end it with this way. The time to replace the engine is when it starts consuming oil like Clifford the Big Dog. And when you start drinking oil, and when it starts leaking oil, when you're fouling spark plugs because one of the cylinders has gone bad, that's the beginning of the end. And until that happens, then don't. Now, as far as that rear main seal is concerned, it's a dang shame that he didn't do that when he had your transmission out, because that was the time to pound in a new seal. However, it's important for you to make sure your PCV valve system is working, because that creates a vacuum on your engine. Inside your engine, we have about a pound or two of suck or vacuum. If the PCV valve system or the port that feeds the PCV valve is plugged up, then the vacuum has been shut off, and now we go from 2 pounds of vacuum to 2 pounds of pressure, and I think you can see how that's going to cause an oil leak, right?
I do.
So make sure your PCV valve's in, and if you're happy with the oil leak the way it is, keep with the oil you're using. If it starts leaking a little bit more, then go to a straight 30 weight, because that motor of yours isn't going to be hurt at all by 30 weight. Dave, real quick, What kind of car truck is it?
K2500 GMC with the 7.4 liter.
Boo, 454. Okay, motor. Yeah, give me a number for motor. Just a wide range in numbers.
That's 340?
300, 3 to 4.
Yeah.
I think 3 to 4. In and out labor is going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $2,000.
Yeah.
Then he's going to have $500, $600, $700 with the miscellaneous stuff and $200 or $300 in tax, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be pretty costly. I mean, we see this thing almost every day, and, you know, it's most of the time it's not worth dropping the transmission to repair that
leak.
Yes.
But when we're going to replace the motor, we do that because we can do the motor on most vehicles for less than the tax and the license plates of a new vehicle.
Yes.
And the sales tax and new vehicle. So if the rest of the truck is worth it, then a heart transplant isn't a bad idea. All righty, James, thank you very much. Let's go to Tom real quick. Tom, what kind of problem have you got?
You know, back in the old days when they first come out with front-wheel drive, they used to re-loop the knuckles on the shafts.
Uh-huh.
Do they still do that, or is that a lost art?
They used to rebuild the knuckles?
No, they used to lube them.
Oh, no. That's what the boot's there for. So you put the knuckle together, and it's pretty much dry with except, Dave, don't they use a little lubricant on the outside of those?
Yes.
Okay. Then we put, the boot is there, and we slide the boot back, and then we squeeze in some special high-performance grease in the bellows of the black boot that contains the knuckle. Then we slide the boot over the outside joint, put a band clamp on there, and now that joint is going to be lubed in lubricant all the time it's running. Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense, but does it ever need to be redone?
No. No. What happens is when the boot tears, it'll start slinging grease out, and that's the time you go in and have a new boot and have it washed up with solvent and cleaned up and then just reboot it. That's what you do.
That's what I need to know.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you very much. When we come back, we're going to take your calls, and Tom, Max, and Bill, don't go anywhere because we're going to get you as quickly as we can. This portion of Under the Hood has been brought to you by Quality Transmissions. If you have an issue with the transmission, Bob or Greg at Quality Transmission is who you need to call. They have many years of experience, and they do not guess with your money. They know how to repair transmissions, I promise you. Quality Transmission is located at Tempe, in Tempe, on McClintock, just north of University. No matter where you live, these guys are worth the drive. And I'm very, very proud to tell you that Quality Transmission has been on my referral list for what seems like 100 years. And that referral list is available to you free at MarkSalem.com. MarkSalem.com. On behalf of my co-pilot, Dave Silva, and Mark Salem, we'll be back right after this.
Hello.
The mechanic raised up from under my...
Well, welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem here with the co-pilot, Dave Silva. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Service. They're a full-service, family-owned auto repair shop located at 38th Avenue and Indian School. So basically, if you live south of Camelback and west of the I-17, this guy holds down that area as good as anybody could. He's a family-owned operation, auto shop. He's full service, again, at 38th Avenue and Indian School, and he's a trusted name for quality and affordable automotive service and maintenance in the Phoenix area. So anywhere south of Camelback, west of the I-10, look for Larry Harker's Auto Repair, and you can tell him Mark sent you. All righty, Dave, you ready? Let's go talk to Matt. Matt, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, just while I'm sitting here and the gentleman talking about the rear main sill, I've got the same problem. I've got I got a 93 Chevy 3/4. I've got the 5.7 350. So it's relatively low miles, but I'm putting a quart of oil just about every other week in that thing.
Okay, Dave, is it at the back of the motor? Is that the only place it can leak is from the rear main seal?
Certainly not.
Okay.
Are you seeing any oil leaks on the ground, or can you tell where that oil's going?
Yeah, it's interesting because at some point I've seen it come, on the, it's almost like the oil cooling system. It's got a little radiator that goes up
yes.
to the front.
Yeah, the oil cooler.
I've seen it leak from the filter dripping mm-hmm. down there, and so I went up there and kind of checked to see if it was maybe one of the connections in those two lines that go up to the front, but
no, that won't be it, Dave. What will be there at the filter housing?
That would be the oil filter adapter gasket.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, and I've checked that a lot of times. Some of the guys have been, well, did you check? Because sometimes the old the seal isn't properly between the filter and the, you know, where you
the
screw
block.
It in. Are you saying there's another seal up there?
No, you can't check that. If you have the oil filter attaches to the adapter, and then another inch or so up, the adapter attaches to the block. If it's leaking from up there, you have to take it down. I mean, it's a gasket and an O-ring. It's no big deal. And there's two bolts on the inside of it, so you got to take the filter off, then you got to take the inner part off, and then you get up there to the top. That's something we do all the time. If you've got a rear main seal leaking, it's going to be right at the split where the transmission and the engine go together. Can you throw it off the top of your head what that gasket? I'm thinking it's like less than $80.
Yeah, it's probably an hour labor at the most.
Okay,
I would think.
So it's a situation where you have the ability to go right after the oil leak because that oil filter is certainly repairable. What's really important on the back of the motor, if you truly have a rear main seal, is sometimes the back of the intake will leak, and we need to determine if it's the back of the intake, which we can see, or if it's the rear main seal, which we can't see. And then you're on your 350 Chevy, your 5.7. We don't know if it's got a one-piece seal at the back or two-piece. If it's a two-piece, we pull the pan for access. If it's a one-piece, we pull the transmission for access. Now, I would say to you, you got a 93 truck. This is what Dave would say.
I got it from my dad.
Okay. All right. Here's the deal. Here's your two options. Dave, you can take your car down to a transmission shop and have them pull the transmission out, completely service it, and reseal it, and give you a six-month warranty that it will never leak in 6 months, and give it an internal bath and all new fluid, new filters, everything. And while they're there, they'll pound that rear main seal in for you for an extra $20. and so what you're going to pay for is you're going to pay about $400 or so to do that, reseal the transmission and do the rear main seal. Or, Matt, what we'll do is we'll just charge you $400 to do the rear main seal. Which is better for you, Matt?
For me, though, I like the 400 is cheaper than what I've been quoted. I've been getting prices of like $800 to do my rear main seal.
Is it a four-wheel drive?
No.
Okay. Here's the deal. The obvious answer to that question is you're much better off to take advantage of the transmission reseal and service
and the rear main seal for the same money. Yeah.
So that's what I would do. I'd look at the transmission, and Dave would do the same. Look at the transmission, determine if it's got any leaks, and then we're going to send you to a transmission shop and say, hey, you do both of them.
Okay.
We're going to shove you off on him, not in a mean way. We're doing what's in your best interest.
Okay.
All right?
Real quick, the real reason why I called.
Okay.
Okay, in the morning, I start my truck. I get about 5 miles away, and my the gauge on my instrument panel spikes. It just climbs and climbs and climbs and climbs. And then my check gauge light comes on.
Okay, and then what happens?
And then I drive. I sometimes turn off and like, oh, maybe this is it. This is where the engine goes. And then sometimes I'll just keep on driving, and all of a sudden it just drops right back down.
And maybe a defective coolant sensor?
It could be a coolant sensor. That would be easy because you're plugging a scanner in.
Or a thermostat.
A thermostat. And that would be easy as well. And it also could be low on coolant. It could be low on coolant. So what you should do is tomorrow morning before you start the car, I don't want you to look at the overflow tank at all. I want you to take the radiator cap off, squeeze the upper hose to make sure it's soft and it's not fully loaded with pressure, and it won't be after sitting all night long. Open up the radiator cap and make sure that you've got coolant inside the radiator. If you don't, add some water, coolant, and see what happens. But it could be a coolant sensor, it could be a thermostat, or it could be just low on coolant. It'll be one of those three.
Okay. I appreciate your time. Thanks for taking both my questions.
You betcha. Bill, good morning to you. How can we help you today?
Good morning. I've got a question about oil. The dealer says I should only use synthetic oil 520 in the CTS, and it costs a lot more than regular oil. Is that really necessary?
Let me tell you about the oil. Through the warranty period, I'd probably use a 7,500 mile oil change interval, and I'd use the synthetic through the warranty time. After that, let me tell you the difference. Conventional oil has a range from 30 below zero to 325 degrees ambient temperature. In Arizona, we don't see 30 below. then we're going to take our hands and move them outwards for semi-synthetic, a half up what we call blended oil. So we're going to go to 45 below zero to about 350 to 375. And full synthetic goes from, the range is huge, minus 60 to 500 degrees. Let me tell you something. If your motor gets to 500 degrees, you got bigger problems than what kind of oil you got in there, because your motor is going to self-destruct from the inside at 300 degrees. But the difference between conventional and semi-synthetic and synthetic is really this. Quality is different, and the oil change intervals are different. If you want to use a blended oil, then I want you to be in the 6,000 to 7,000 mile range. And if you're going to go all the way back to a conventional oil, then you're going to go to a 3,000 mile oil change. So a conventional oil, you got to stick with three or four at the most. A semi-synthetic, five or six. And a full synthetic, 7 to 10.
Okay, one other thing. They say 5W20. That seems awful light for Arizona in the summer.
Okay, good question. Put your hands together like you're praying, okay? And I want you to rub them back and forth together until they get hot, okay?
Yep.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If we want to get in between the palms of your hands that are rubbing together, and we want to carry the heat away, and we want to provide lubrication, and we want to carry the trash away, are we better off with water or peanut butter?
Well, obvious, water.
Okay, that's the answer. We're now using, you're not going to believe this, Bill, we're using a zero weight in NASCAR. A zero weight. It has the consistency of water. And we now know that the better we get the oil in and out of that joint, the faster we get it in, the faster we get it out, it carries more heat, it carries more trash, and provides better lubrication than the peanut butter oils of the 70s, which were 30s, 40s, and 50 weights. So yes, the 520 is the appropriate one. All righty?
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bill. Tony, hang on just a minute. I've got a little business to take care of, and then I'm going to get to you. I'll be with you in just 1 minute. If you need a body shop, I want to recommend Phoenix Body Works. Greg May, the owner, will be your advocate. If you have an insurance claim, he's on your side. Phoenix Body Works is hassle-free and insurance company friendly. They know how to work with insurance companies. Greg will make sure your car is put back together the right way, on time, at an affordable price for you or your insurance company, with quality parts. It's important to repair your vehicle to its pre-accident condition. After all, that's what you want. I've been recommending Phoenix Body Works for several years, and I've heard nothing but nice things from his customers. I'm proud to have him on my best car repair shop list. Phoenix Body Works is at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley. You can reach him Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 and Saturday for the early morning half of a day. That's 623-582-1434. Phoenix Body Works, 19th Avenue and Deer Valley Road. All righty, Tony, you're up next. How can we help you, buddy?
Hey, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, zero weight oil there for NASCAR. That's qualifying oil right there.
Yep.
That's the way to do it. But
yep.
I got a question that's somewhat of a two-part question about engine diagnosis.
Okay.
That, you know, nowadays most vehicles, you know, you just pull in, you plug them in, you can do engine diagnosis. I'm going to have a follow-up question after this, if we have enough time.
Okay.
from a shop's perspective, what is the majority of problems that you see overall in vehicles coming in when engine diagnosis is needed, such as the rough, you know, idling, rough running, sputtering, things like that, from your perspective, from a shop's perspective?
Okay.
What is the biggest problem that you guys see right now?
I think probably the most common thing that we see is just emission control devices fail. A lot of times the check engine light will come on, the vehicle will show no symptoms, but, you know, people come in and want to know what that is, and a lot of times you have an evaporative leak or a vacuum leak somewhere. You know, sometimes there will be no symptoms at all, but you know, the computer will see those evaporative leaks or those you know, vacuum leaks and trigger check engine light. That's probably the most common thing. Most of the time, there's no symptoms at all when they come in.
And the rest of the check engine lights are typically performance related, and half the time they don't even know that there's a performance problem. So we've got an ignition misfire on cylinder 4. Go to your second part real quick.
Yeah, sure, no problem. You know, now that we have ethanol blends in our fuel that we're using right now, especially here during the summer, have you noticed over an extended period of time people driving around with an eighth of a tank of fuel, a quarter of a tank of fuel, and that's all they really keep in it? You know, the evaporation of the fuel inside the tank that then condensates overnight, and there's this water buildup that runs down the sides of the tanks and starts pooling in the bottom of the gas tank. Have you noticed that?
No, because on the cars with an evaporative system that's closed where we're going to suck the fumes off the tank, the ethanol is part alcohol, and alcohol absorbs 40 times its weight in water. So with ethanol, and we don't have summertime ethanol. We have wintertime ethanol, but not summertime. We go back to a full caffeine. We're doing caffeine-free gas right now. We're going to go to the black Starbucks, you know, in the summertime.
The strong stuff
in the summertime. But the fact of the matter is in a closed system, you're right that there is this rainforest effect where gasoline will evaporate, go to the top of the tank, then turn to a liquid and fall back into the tank. But we're not finding any water in anything from 2000 and newer, almost guaranteed, because those are airtight systems. And I want to say something about your diagnosis. There's no such machine out there for any amount of money that we can plug in and tell us exactly what's wrong with your car. The machine, the scanner, is going to tell us what the city is, what the state, what the zip code, what the elevation, and it'll give us the street, but it won't tell us which house it's at. So when we go in and look at an evaporative leak, this is what the computer says. You need to check the gate on the evaporation system. That's all it tells us. Now, the gate is supposed to close and create one situation and open and create another. But the gate could be fine. It could be that the vacuum line's collapsed 6 feet away. Or it could be that the gas tank itself is starting to rust on an older car and it's clogged up the vent. We have to figure out what it is. There is no way the computer knows exactly what's wrong with your car. Now, we can tell you this. If you have an ABS sensor, 75% of the time, it's a wheel sensor, because that's kind of experience. I can tell you this, too. Only 20% of the O2 sensor codes are really an O2 sensor. Here's the difference. The difference is this. When the O2 sensor starts screaming, give me more fuel, the computer points at the O2 sensor and says, bad boy, bad boy. But in reality, the fuel filter's plugged, or we got a big vacuum leak. So that's what happens. There's no such thing as an easy diagnosis, but thank you for bringing that up, Tony. Dave Silva, all right, what time do I have to have you back in jail?
I think it was probably about 5 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, Dave, thanks for spending your Saturday afternoon
with me.
Thanks
for having
me back.
I
really appreciate
it. Good time.
No problem. For the rest of you, if you have a question that we didn't get to, please email me the question, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. If you need a good car repair shop and you don't have a good relationship with one, then go to marksalem.com. I've got great shops on my website. And I promise you, you'll be happy. And I put my name in writing, and I put my money on the table right where my mouth is. So until next week, I'm Mark Salem. This is 960 The Patriot, and I'll see you next Saturday right here at 10 o'clock, where we'll talk about your car and your car only. Until then, wear your seatbelt, drive safe, don't drink and drive, and have a nice Super Bowl Sunday.